Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I want to start with an illustration that sort of plays off of the disciples immediately getting up and leaving. Now, in some other denominations, if a preacher gets a call, he may be there 1 week and call to another church, usually a larger church. He may leave the pulpit and go to another church. Well, in one particular church where there wasn't a whole lot of love between the congregation and the pastor, he said from the pulpit, "I have received a call from Jesus to another congregation." At which point the choir stood up and sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." That's not me. I also want to use this opportunity to tell the very best fish story ever. Now, it is a 5-second delay story, and there is a good gospel message in a moment, but first, this story. It's a fish story. I call it a 5-second delay because it'll be 5 seconds after the end of it before you either get it or don't, but I'm going to move on. A man was stopped by a game warden in a state park, and he had 2 buckets of fish while he was leaving the lake, and the game warden said, "Do you have a license to catch those fish?" And the man replied to the game warden, "I don't need a license. These are my pet fish." And the warden said, "Pet fish?" He said, "Yes, sir. Every night I take these fish down to the lake, and I let them swim around for a while, and then I whistle, and they come and jump back into their buckets, and I take them home." The warden said, "That's a bunch of hooey. Fish can't do that." The man looked at the game warden for a moment, and he said, "Here, I'll show you." The warden said, "Okay, I've got to see this." So the man went down to the lake, and he poured the fish back into the lake. And after a few minutes, the game warden turned to the man and said, "Well?" And the guy said, "Well, what?" He said, "Well, when are you going to call them back?" And he said, "Call who back?" The game warden said, "The fish." The man asked, "What fish?" Okay. Now, switching gears into the sermon. There's really no tie-in other than fish. Switching gears. Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 5, and this is more serious. "We toiled all night and have taken nothing." I went with the RSV on this to read today because I like that better. "We toiled all night, we worked all night and have taken nothing." Now that verse doesn't need any context, and it doesn't matter whether you've been fishing. You can feel that even if you've never fished a day in your life. "Toiled all night and have taken nothing." Parents, children, finances, marriages, careers, all sorts of situations. Sometimes even preachers say, "Lord, I've toiled all night and have taken nothing." The disciples had washed out their nets. And then Jesus borrowed one of their boats. He rowed out from shore and he used the surface of the water as a natural megaphone to amplify his voice as he preached and taught to the crowd. And so after fishing all night and closing up shop and then sitting through a sermon, essentially, Jesus turned to Simon Peter and said, "I want you to go out again, this time into deeper water, further from shore." And Peter said, "Lord, we worked all night. We worked our fingers to the bone and look what we got. Bony fingers. Nothing else." Jesus, paraphrase, said to Peter, "I know what you did, but now I want you to try it under my direction." But the story doesn't end there, as you well know. Even if the trust was tiny and the skepticism sky high, Peter said, "Okay, if you say so, Lord, we'll put out again deeper. If you say so." Now, there could be many situations are relationships that have been broken that you think will remain broken the rest of your life. Things that you're just plain tired of trying again about. Well, so was Peter. And that's one of the lessons from this scripture. Lord, we fished all night. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. But at God's direction, would you try with trust a little deeper? A little deeper into forgiveness, a little deeper into compassion and generosity, a little deeper into love and prayer, even for the enemies you have. A little deeper into seeking God's will instead of your next wandering desire. The disciples tried a little deeper. They did try, and they caught an insane number of fish. Peter knew that this was not normal. He knew that he was in the presence of more than just a man. He got on his knees and he said to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And at that moment, you figure out this story is not about fish at all. Because if it were, Peter would have said, "Oh boy, we're rich. The Peter and Jesus fish market. We're going to make a mint, my friend." But that's not what he said. Peter knew it was not about fish. It was God acting in an extraordinary way to make himself known. Peter knew, and he knew full well, that God was acting in this man, Jesus. And so he fell on his knees at the action of God through Jesus and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Another lesson from this text: never worry that you are too sinful to be useful to God. What other kind of people can God use except sinners? God uses and changes sinners. God can use you, can use me. Do not ever think I have failed and it's over, because God will say when it's over. Certainly on your own you can fail, in your own direction, under your own power, under your own strength and cleverness you can and have failed. So have I. But you've not really failed until you try with trust in God and try to discern God's direction. And very often that's a little further from shore and in the deeper water, out in the deep end. We pray for God's will to be done. Every time we pray, we prayed already today twice, the Lord's Prayer in both services. And when we pray that prayer, we recognize that God's will is different from ours, that God's goals of God's kingdom are different from ours. And the direction that God needs us to go in and the number of times God needs us to try are not dependent upon our schedule and our desires. Very often God would have us try one more time. One more time, this time less fearful and more trusting, seeking God's direction instead of our own. Now remember all the times that Peter got it and then lost it, or maybe he almost got it and didn't quite understand what was going on with Jesus. He would promise loyalty and then he wasn't. Peter is a lot like us. And I think we're supposed to understand at least one thing from this passage. God can and does use sinful, imperfect people to do His will and to build His kingdom and to make disciples. So get to it. Peter. Think of the stories about Peter. He was the first to say, "Jesus, you are the Messiah." And then when Jesus explained that the Messiah must suffer and die, Peter said, "Oh, no, you're wrong, Jesus. That can't be true." And that's when Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, tempter. The Messiah must suffer and die." And on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus glowed brighter than the sun and Moses and Elijah appeared there momentarily, Peter misunderstood the appearance as something more permanent, and he offered to build them some little shacks to stay in and just talk on the top of the mountain. And the Gospels, when you read them carefully, they almost apologize for Peter. They say he wasn't thinking clearly. He didn't know what he was saying. Peter is the one who saw Jesus walking on the water and he said, "Hey, Jesus, I want to do that." And Peter begins to do it. Then he takes his eyes off of Jesus and you know what happens. He begins to sink and almost drown. In the upper room, it is Peter who first refuses to allow Jesus to wash his feet. And then he comes to understand that, yes, Jesus is a servant. He came to serve us. Jesus asked Peter to stay awake and pray with him the night that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know what happened? Peter fell asleep. Time after time, Jesus preached against violence and eye for an eye and retaliation. But when they came to arrest Jesus, who pulled out a sword and wounded a guard? It was Peter. And then after promising to be loyal to Jesus unto death, that very night, Peter three times denied even knowing who Jesus was. Now that's Peter. But there's more than one Peter story in the book of Acts. After the cross and after the resurrection, when the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost and the crowds did not understand what was going on, it was Peter who stood up and preached the sermon explaining it all. God can you sinful, sometimes fearful, sometimes wrong-headed, sometimes just plain wrong people to do great things. By himself, Peter messed up over and over, but over time we see that Peter trusted and tried, and he gave himself up to God's will, and he sought power from God's Spirit instead of his own might. Those times, Peter did great things. Or maybe I should say that God did great things through Peter. So are your excuses, or mistakes, or sins any greater than Peter's? And is God still able, and are there still disciples to be made, and worn out, broken people looking for meaning and comfort? Yes. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. We are the body of Christ. Has no feet but our feet to lead others on the way. Christ has no tongue but our tongues to tell them how he died. Christ has no help but our help to bring them to his side. Fishers of people, Christ has only us. Inspired by the Spirit, still imperfect but useful, because God can use us when we make ourselves available through trust, through overcoming our fears and doubts and going out just a little bit deeper. One final illustration I'd like to close with. One of the few creatures on earth, just a fun biological fact, one of the few creatures on earth who can outjump any NBA player is the impala. It's an African deer with sort of a supercharged set of legs. It has a vertical leap of over 10 feet. It can broad jump over 30 feet. And you would think that the zoos of the world would have a hard time containing these animals, but that's not so. It's easy. Because experts have discovered that the impala will not jump unless it can see where it's going to land. And so they can build a wall about 6 feet high, and it can't see the other side of the wall. And even though it could clear it by 4 feet if it wanted to, it doesn't want to, because it has to see where it's going to land. A lot of Christians, a lot of us, have the impala problem. We won't take a leap of faith unless we have all the answers in advance about where we're going to land. But God is looking for folks like Peter who are bold, not perfect, but bold believers, who even in the face of the unknown will leap when the Spirit says leap, fly when the Spirit says fly, launch when the Spirit says launch, off into the deep end, trusting God for the landing. Casting out one more time, trusting God for the catch. Sowing the seed of love, mercy, and grace, trusting God for the harvest. There are disciples to be made through the likes of us.